Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Diaz rears back and fires, and it's hit in the air to right field and deep. Conforto going back at the wall. It's gone! Marcell Ozuna to the opposite field has tied the game in the ninth.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. That, of course, the solo home run. Marcell Ozuna tied the game up 2-2 with the Braves. That was in the ninth inning. And, yeah, they came back and got that win. But I'm going to tell you what, Sam. I was there in the beginning. I checked out for a while doing some other stuff. When I came back, I saw Jackson coming to the mound. And I went,
you and Carl Dukes. You and Carl Dukes, man.
That dude.
Shout out to Dukes and Bell.
Yeah, he does.
Carl Dukes, man. Carl has the hardest time when that guy comes
me
to the
too.
Game.
Randy me too. Included. Me and Carl be sitting there, you know, opening up drinks.
Randy McMichael. And Randy Mac.
Oh, man. I saw him come in, and I was like, oh, no. But yet, they pulled it out. 5-3 victory over the Mets. Listen. I don't know. I can't say nothing bad about them because obviously they got the win, but it's always, you know, you're inching up to the edge of your chair when he comes to the mound. And he filled the bases up, and I thought, oh, here we go. This is what's going to happen. And you go ahead and laugh at me, but why you want somebody out, you know, you don't want that out there.
I got to say this. The pitching has been great. I mean, we're only a couple of games into this, but the starting pitching – been great, you know, and the bullpen was come out of the bullpen has been strong, you know, and this, you're just talking two games here, but I don't know if you're
right.
Surprised at all at how long pitchers are going to start the season. I was kind of surprised on the first couple of days. Some pitchers were going to the sixth and seventh, and we actually had a 9-inning opening day start by a pitcher, and I was not expecting that.
Well, you almost have to. Guys, yeah, you have to because of the new rule. Because if you bring a reliever in, he got to face at least three batters, so that changes how a manager uses his pitching staff.
I was just thinking for this first week or two, you would have like a pitch count limit for your starter, or you would have an inning limit for your starter if he goes five. You know, then, but I mean, we saw some guys pitching to the sixth, seventh inning. Like we said, we had a complete nine inning, which you know is kind of like unheard of these days, because you know they're not geared to do that. But that was impressive to see. But the Braves, it was good to see them get runs first of all, and they get some hits. You know, Marcell Ozuna is making an impression on us with a big hit, and you know, and think about what his team had to do. He had to call up Contreras. You know, your young future catcher, you feel you had to bring him up early, and he comes through with a hit in the game. And here's the thing, you know, because your starting catcher and your backup catcher both have to sit out.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at, Alex Jackson and what he's going to look like. So that's where my focus is early in this season with these guys.
We're watching to see that. I mean, everybody else, I mean, we're watching Acuna. He's in a little bit of a tailspin. You know, he goes through that. And when he breaks out, it's fine. I mean, you want to see everybody else. Dansby Swanson contributes with a, and drives in a run in the extra frame. So that's, you know, you want to see the win. Because in this short schedule, you know, Greg, every game is an important one. There's no just say, well, we'll just come back tomorrow. You got to approach it that way because you only got this short number of games to play to begin with.
You know, Inciardi's looking good in the outfield so far as I'm concerned. I've also enjoyed the last couple games watching Austin Riley. You got him in third, and you got him in the outfield. And it's always interesting when anything starts coming his way. You know, he's a shot out of the park every time he hits the plate, and you don't know what's going to happen, but, you know, with that big swing. But in the field, I just enjoy watching him play because he's another one where every time it's hit his direction, it's, you know, you get it a little bit more focused. At least I do. So yep, I'm enjoying it. I'm trying to find things to, you know, look out for early on in the season because, again, there's no way to know. We don't know what's going to happen. They don't have the times like in other seasons where the first part of the season, you're setting things up, you're getting used to just everything. We don't have that. As you said, this is not a marathon this year. This is a sprint. So those are the things that I'm looking out for. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, 6 a.m. to 10 every Sunday morning. Tell your friends, tune us in that don't know we're here. You can also check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. As we go around the NBA... I was going to say NBA. MLB.
It'll be,
this past
week. Brazos started tonight, by the way, and they got Sean Newcomb on the mound tonight starting for him. So they are in prime time tonight.
Yes, they are. The baseball this past week, some of your takeaway stories, man. Is it the virtual fans? Is it the cardboard fans? Is it the sound they're piping into the stadium? Because I had an interesting perspective, and I don't know that it doesn't border on just bad taste, but I'll get into it in a second. But your takeaway from this past season, or this past week, and how Major League Baseball has kicked off its season.
It's kicked off its season with a blast to me with some of our home folks. And I just wanted to make just shout outs to some of our homeboys who play in other places but had big home runs on opening day. One of them is Dexter Fowler. Of course, you're going to sneer at him because he used to be with the Cubs. He's now with the Cardinals. He goes yard opening day. Kyle Lewis, bright future for this young man, drafted out of Mercer University. Shout out Shiloh High School. Hit a home run for the Seattle Mariners, and people think he may be a Rookie of the Year candidate. Keep an eye out for that young man. And then there is Matt Olson, the first base of the Oakland A's, with a walk-off grand slam in an empty stadium. But I mean, still that. And he's out of Parkview High School. So shout out to our home folks to making big impacts right from the start on opening day.
Two things that that I took away from this past week, and it's just maybe this way my mind works. I realized, much like the NBA, when you think of the NBA and you talk about its famous fans, if you go to a certain stadium, you know, or arena, you know they're going to be in that seat. If you go to a Lakers game, you know you're going to get Jack Nicholson sitting where he sits. If you go to a Knicks game, right, you're going to get Spike Lee in his seats. You don't have that so much in the NFL, for obvious reasons. It's just too big of an arena. And I was trying to think about this in baseball. Is there a fan that is always seen at a particular team's games? And they have to be a pretty good team that's always on national TV. And the one that came to mind this past week when I was watching the Dodgers play. Every game, we see Mary Hart right behind home plate. Am I wrong? Am I lying?
Oh, yeah.
She's there.
Nope, she's always there.
She's always there. She's married to Bert Sugar, and he's right there with her. And sometimes you see the head of Larry King a couple rows down, but I don't know if he's there every game. But he's another one of those faces. So I was looking at the cutouts, and I was looking, obviously. There she was, Mary Hart, in a cutout. Now, I guess all the teams are – did you notice that?
All of them I think here at Truist, you're going to see – familiar faces in the cutouts. I mean,
I'm just saying,
some teams, I don't know if we're doing it here. What's that?
No, go ahead, finish your thought. I'll come back.
No, I'm just saying, at certain ballparks, you will see, I think, cutouts of people who are familiar, either former players or family members of players or things of that type thing. I think they even put the pets out there. You know, Adam Duvall hit the home run yesterday and hit the cutout of the dog.
That's another thing, too. I'm glad you brought that up because I was listening to, and I don't know what game it was, but they were saying that they're going to give the fans a chance to get foul balls or home run balls if they want, okay? And that sounds great. But if you have a cutout and a foul ball hits your cutout, don't you think you should get that ball? And there's going to be a dent in your cutout.
Yeah, I don't think so.
You should get the ball. They didn't say that was the case. If you're spending money to have your picture there, obviously the money's going to charity.
I think that will be the case. I think that will be the case in some places. I'm not sure that everybody's doing it, but I've heard that a couple of teams will do that. If a foul ball hits your cutout, they'll get you.
That was something.
I don't know that everybody's doing it.
They should be. They should give that. You donate money to their particular charity. They should give you the foul ball if it hits your cutout. But here's the other thing. By the way, Sam and Greg.
You know, that's the funny thing about watching this Korean baseball game this morning, Greg, is that there are people getting the foul balls.
No, that's true.
You know, it is. There's a young guy. I saw a young guy at the game with a glove on. And he's out there to track down foul balls, just like you would normally do in a baseball game. It's just – like I said, we just haven't seen it in a while.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Coming up next, we're going to be joined by Robin Hines, Executive Director of GHSA. Give us an update on what's going on high school athletics throughout the state. But getting back to this past week in Major League Baseball and all the stuff with the people in the stands, the virtual fans and all that, that's fine, and that's for television purposes. But I was watching the game yesterday, and they started, and all the stadiums are doing this, I think. They're piping in sound. And now they've got it to where they've got sound for different aspects of the game that you would hear. So if your home team has got a runner on first base and the opposing pitcher throws over to first, what happens in the stadium? All the hometown fans, boo, you know, leave it alone. They've actually got that sound effect that they were hitting. I was noticing it was little nuances as far as the music and the fan sound they were piping in. Then I got to thinking.
Yeah.
You tell me, Sam, if this is insensitive to say, but this is what popped into my mind. As they continue to add these aspects of what would normally be a part of a baseball game, but we know they aren't there right now, it really hasn't changed for our blind community. They're baseball fans. Am I lying? Am I being insensitive? I was thinking about that. You're challenged that way, but yet Major League Baseball and the TV networks
visually are impaired.
Exactly. Okay, thank you. Visually impaired. But they are that. This game sounds the same to them.
Right.
Right? I mean, occurred to me, I'm late to the depot here and getting on the train, but it wasn't until yesterday I thought, I'm kind of starting to get, you know, to enjoy this, and I can live with it this way and so on and so forth. But then I thought, you know, I've got a cousin who's visually challenged on my father's side and who's a big baseball fan. And to him, and I haven't talked to him, but I guess it's still the same. Anyway, it was just interesting that I thought about that yesterday. So
yeah. I'm sure there's something that they thought about, people who live through a radio broadcast or live through audio only, there's something that would make it be the same for them.
Right.
So it really does. But also for the players, too, to have some ambiance around them. Yeah, they're not seeing people, but some of the ambiance around, I think, is done for the players' benefit as well, just to give them a sense of a little something normal.
They're still high-fiving, though, Sam.
You hear the organ.
Yeah, they are.
They're still high-fiving.
And that home run you talked about in Oakland, dude hit the walk-off grand slam, man. It looked like, you know, nothing was going on. They all came out and jumped around and partied with them. It was
It's hard, man. It's hard. It is hard to make that. It really is, you know. And so that's what you going to do?
It's hard.
You just hope that everybody, the next time they test, that everybody gets tested out and everybody's fine. That's what you hope, you know. Because they're not playing in a bubble like the people are down in Florida. So that's the
thing. That's the other thing I was going to get, because we haven't talked about the 400-pound gorilla as far as what's going on in Major League Baseball, that they are entering this season with a team that has no home field advantage. Okay, they are nomadic. Yeah, they're playing in their AA stadium in Buffalo, but the Toronto Blue Jays were rejected, I think, three times. They first were rejected by the Pirates and the governor of Pennsylvania. Then they were rejected by, who's the other team they were going to go play with? It was Pittsburgh. It was another team, and then the governor of Connecticut offered up a stadium in Hartford. Then that was yanked back. But anyway, they're going to play in Buffalo. They didn't even want to go back to their spring training facility, which is a major league, you know, spring training place. And that was their problem with Buffalo. But they said, we don't even want to go back to Florida. So they just soon get things worked out in Buffalo. They're going to have a few weeks to get that stadium up to snuff. Anyway, we're going to change direction and talk about what is going on and the decisions that are being made concerning high school sports. Robin Hines, executive director of the GHSA, is going to join us next. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And I just want to love you.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg with you. Not nine floors up in the Kia Studios. We ain't seen the Kia Studio.
Nope.
We're in the virtual Kia Studio.
Last time we saw it was a helicopter bringing an air conditioning unit up on the roof.
That's the last time. Well, that was a long time ago. Yes. Great to have you with us again on this morning. Thank you for taking us with you, of course, by way of the radio.com app, available on all your smartphones and your smart devices. Going to be another warm day outside, and that's what we got that time of year. Warm day, chance of some thunder showers. I can give that weather forecast. I'm not even a meteorologist.
I've been trying
this
to call
what happens
you
this time of year.
Yeah, I've been trying to call you all week every time it hits on my side of town, but sometimes it's been missing us, and then I see a Gwinnett County thunderstorm.
Yeah,
one,
man.
It's like, ooh, I didn't even know this was here, so.
Yeah, it comes through the back door, man.
It's giving us Allen Iverson stuff.
Oh, gosh.
Crossovers, man.
Well, I tell you, but I tell you what this time of year reminds us of. It is time to get set to head back to school, and it's time for school athletics. A lot of people wondering how we're going to pull it off. We said we're going to go ahead and play, and I tell you, we got somebody that's going to tell us all about it. Always great to have him joining us now on the waitfor.com hotline, Georgia High School Athletic Association Executive Director, Dr. Robin Hines. Good morning to you.
Morning, Doctor.
Morning. How y'all doing?
We are doing fine. How are you and yours doing?
Doing well.
How's this time been, this coronavirus? How you and the family been handling this, Dr. Hines?
Well, you know, it's been unlike anything that I've ever experienced in my 38 years in education. Certainly, you know, we're all striving for normalcy. You know, since March the 12th, things have just really gotten sideways, and, you know, it's time for us to get on track, and, you know, we've learned a lot during that time, and, you know, we're looking forward to getting back and having some high school sports and, you know, getting those kids, you know, back on the fields and the courts and try to be normal.
And that's the thing we're looking to try to do. You've given the thumbs up last week, unanimous vote, to go ahead and move forward with high school athletics. You're going to slide football back a couple of weeks. Talk about the things that went into that decision and who is impacted by it, because this is something still jurisdiction-wise or district-wise, some people still have a lot of room to make some decisions on their own. But talk about how you arrived at this decision.
Well, you know, we need to talk about it and – you know, one of the things to think about is, you know, the best decisions are local decisions, you know, those that are made in the district and, you know, and these type of things. And so there's a lot of leeway for that. And one of those things is the infectious disease plan. Now, these plans have been in place in school districts for many years, you know, back with the SARS virus, H1N1, and so forth. And so we needed to do this for, you know, COVID-19 as well, because just simply put, you know, what do you do if one of your coaches or one of your players test positive for COVID-19? How are you going to deal with that? So those districts need to make up their own plans, because, you know, what's happening in Fulton County may not be the same thing, circumstances that are going in Jeff Davis, for instance, you know. So those happened. And we had some places that made them maybe a little more restrictive than they needed to be. So we had a lot of districts that had a lot of kids that were screened out. For instance, there was one metro area county that had five or six positive cases, but they screened out, you know, 177 kids, so it virtually shut their program down. So as the Board of Trustees was looking at that, and you know, when those kids are out for 14 days, they're not conditioning. You know, they're not practicing. They're not training. And to back the season up 2 weeks gives them an opportunity to get the kids back on the field, back on the courts, you know, practicing, being in shape, because, you know, to start on time, in their mind, they felt like it was going to be a safety issue. It was certainly a concern of mine. So moving the season back 2 complete weeks, you know, as you play later, you know, obviously, you know, we'll play the championships after Christmas. But, you know, it gives you a chance to get everybody back on the field. And that was really the impetus for that decision.
Dr. Hines, reading from your last statement that came out on the 22nd, the next to last line of it says, recommendations and restrictions are fluid and subject to change. Safety must be our top priority. My question is, how often throughout the course of a day, or is it just once a day, are you guys, the board getting information, you and the rest of the folks that are making the decisions, and who are you getting the health information from, or is it multiple bodies?
Well, it comes from a lot of different places. You know, we look at the numbers, you know, we see where Georgia is going with our numbers. You know, we get information, guidance from the National Federation of High Schools. I speak to other executive directors from, you know, around the Southeast and really around the country. You know, we have Zoom calls with all of the executive directors, you know, once a week. We meet with our sports medicine advisory council weekly, you know, and I talk to different ones of those on a daily basis, you know, and that group includes, you know, medical doctors, registered nurses, athletic trainers, first responders, other medical personnel. So, you know, we're in constant contact, seeing which way we go and how do we move forward as safely as possible. You know, there's always going to be a risk. I mean, before COVID, you know, there's a risk, but, right. You know, we're going to, there's always going to be a risk, and, but the social and the mental and the physical and well-being is important as well. And so, you know, each individual, you know, each individual's family, school district, you know, they need to weigh the risk versus the benefits and make that personal decision. And so, you know, we just try to be as informed as we possibly can as we go forward. Like, for instance, this past week, you know, with the first date of practice, you know, starting tomorrow, you know, we needed to use the locker rooms. You know, we hadn't been in the locker rooms. You know, we needed to lift the number of 50 so that the entire football teams could be on the field at the same time. Of course, you know, you realize when you get outside, you know, football field is a big area, and there are other areas where there's sleds and, you know, these type of things. It's easy to socially distance, you know, whenever possible, you know, out there. But the locker room is a different thing. So, and we get into the local decisions, you know, for instance, you know, all locker rooms are not the same. You know, we've got right. some places that are big enough where the whole team could socially distance, but then there are other facilities where it's not able to. So, you know, we just say that you have to do that. We highly recommend that you wear masks, you know, when you're in there dressing, that sort of thing. And you may have to dress in stages. And, you know, these are just some of the things that go into those decisions to make sure that we're moving forward as safely as we possibly can.
You're listening to the executive director of the Georgia High School Association, Dr. Robin Hines, joining Sam and Greg. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It must be an ongoing struggle hearing from people, and in your case, parents too, that some sections of Georgia, they're ready to go. They don't want to push things back as opposed to other areas. As you said, Fulton County is different than some other places. That has also got to be an ongoing, like I said, just struggle hearing and making those decisions about different sections of the state. that seem to be more prepared or ready to get back into normalcy, if you will, with the pandemic sort of looming over the entire state?
Yeah, there's no question about that, and there's been no shortage of input, I can tell you. You know, that's one way to put it, you know, and I try to answer each one and you know, with the best that I can. And, you know, but there are many parts of our state that are absolutely untouched, you know, as far as that goes, the vast majority, really. And, but, you know, there are others that have been impacted. And, you know, just trying to find that common ground and way to move forward. You know, when we talk about when games start, you know, what are the stadiums going to look like? Are there going to be fans? Or, you know, what are the sidelines going to look like? What adjustments will be made? Well, a lot of that's going to happen right there in the local district. You know, what we ask the local districts to do is to get with their local departments of health and healthcare professionals and system personnel and make those decisions of, you know, how many tickets are you going to sell? Are you going to limit, you know, those sorts of things? You know, are you going to, you know, we certainly would recommend, you know, that people wear masks, but certainly not mandate those. But, you know, those are some, you know, it's their facility, it's their community. You know, they know their community better than anybody else. I don't think that's something that we need to be painting with a broad brush, you know, so to speak, you know, from the state level. You know, we feel like that those professionals are in a better position to make those decisions than we are. We'll provide guidance, of course, but, you know, that's about as far as that will go.
Spending time on the waitforit.com hotline with Dr. Robin Hines, Executive Director of the GHSA, and we're talking about getting fall sports started. Okay, we're gonna go practice this week, and everything is set to move. Some changes are in place. Is there a number or is there any entity that can step in if it's not the GHSA, if you got a grandstand packed full of fans? And I'm thinking about it because in North Carolina, while NASCAR, the big league of NASCAR, was running in empty stands, some of the short tracks were running with packed stands. And in North Carolina, short track racing is kind of like minor league baseball. Everybody was showing up out there. The state of North Carolina had to go and step in and say, you can't do that. Is there an entity in this state that could do that if we're in an area and people are packing stands full of folks and it just doesn't look safe, it doesn't look good?
Yeah, the governor's office, you know, now the executive order as it sits now, you know, what it does as far as the professional leagues, the conferences, you know, the NCAA and the high school association sets their rules, you know, as it is. But certainly, you know, the governors could step in and provide mandates. I mean, just like, you know, when the schools were shut down in the spring, you know, that's pretty much it. And I will say that I want to say that Governor Kemp and his office have really been good to us, and you know, they have been open. The lines of communication have been great. I think he's handled this thing, you know, about as good as he can, and just real happy with his leadership where we're concerned. And I can't say enough good things about that. But, you know, that is a major source for us. Like, for instance, you know, when we put our guidance out and all that, you know, I always send it up to his office for them to go through to make sure that we're in compliance and make sure that I'm understanding the executive order, you know, in the appropriate way, because, you know, we certainly want to be a team player and do our part and make sure that we're doing things the way that he intends that they're done. So we've been grateful for that.
Well, we're going to watch for that, and we're grateful for you coming and spending some time with us, and we look forward to seeing you. Of course, we think we're going to slide things back, even with the Corky Kell Kickoff Classic. I know last year you came up and visited with us in the press box. there, and we look forward to doing that this season as well as we get things started. And we're hoping everything can go on schedule and we don't have a lot of positive tests. The young people want to play. The communities obviously want to see high school football and want to see high school sports as well, Dr. Hines, as you know, but still with what's going on around us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they want to do it, and you know, there's the risk for the young people is certainly not as extensive as it is for other groups, and we have to be vigilant where that's concerned, and just looking forward to moving forward and having a great year.
All right. Well, we thank you for spending some time with us this morning. Always good catching up with you. Continue to success and. Stay safe and stay well. Keep your hands clean.
Thank you, Doctor.
All right. See you. See you, Sam. Always good talking to you. Y'all have a great day.
All right, now. That is Dr. Robin Hines, Executive Director. And he said, hey, he can answer some questions, things that happen. A lot of it rests with the governor's office. There is a body above them that can if things don't look good. So right now, you're ready to go out and play. You ready to play, Greg?
Yeah. Jahido next.
All right.
Take us out, man.
All right. Hey, next, we're going to stop the yard. You stay with us. Saving Greg on this Sunday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. We're available through the radio.com app for all your smart devices.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com. It's Sam and Greg, 6 a.m. to 10 every Sunday morning. Tell your friends. Check us out on the radio.com app, too, and all your devices, including smart speakers. Did I say Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com? I can't remember. I've got three.
I think
three
you did. Okay. Yeah.
I'm getting old, and I got notes in front of me. Yeah. And before we turn things over to a segment that formerly known as the HBCU Update. We've got a new name, and we'll do it official in just a second. Sam, I got to give a shout-out to somebody. You know, we have Brandon Newsom, the fireman, who gives us updates on what's going on out there in Paulding County Firehouse, and he played sports. Well, he's listening to us this morning. They got us piped into the Paulding County Firehouse, but he wanted me to give a shout-out to the transport paramedics and EMTs out there transporting the sick and injured to the hospital, including COVID-19 patients, who require a lot more personal safety precautions. And that's for the Paulding County Metro Ambulance Service that's out there in Paulding County. So they got us piped in there and listening, but we have gotten away from acknowledging the people that are still, you know, as we sit and talk about sports aren't coming back because this pandemic is still here. Well, you still got people on the front lines. And we talk about Brandon, who's a fireman. His wife is an emergency room nurse. So this whole family, we need to go out and buy them a meal when this thing is all leveled off.
No, that's right. Just dedicated, totally dedicated to it. And we appreciate this service. We appreciate the service of all. Who are doing things and going beyond the call of duty during this time.
Exactly. So we apologize. We've gotten away from that, but we're going to get back to it. And it took a 6'3" dude, Brandon, to bring us back around. So I'm ready to acknowledge all those service workers out there. Anyway, the segment used to be called the HBCU Update. It is now Stomp the Yard.
Yeah.
Aptly named by our own Jahi Whitehead. And Jahi, this is your segment. Take it away, my man.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? What's going on, Atlanta? So, first story we got here for the day. I reported something about this before. Mikey Williams, a current sophomore, five-star sophomore out of California, 6'4" guard. He's projected to be the number one draft pick in 2023. He made headlines a few months ago stating that he was seriously considering an HBCU for his school as far as going to college. So he's officially...
Where you are, I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Can you hear me now? Are you hearing me?
I'm here. I'm hearing you just fine. Go ahead.
All right. So he officially said that he is going... He put out his top 10 list, his top 10. And out of the top 10, five of those are HBCUs. And those schools include Alabama State, Texas Southern.
Can't hear a thing, guys.
SWAC, Texas Southern, North Carolina Central, and Hampton University, as well as Tennessee State.
Okay.
Yeah. So those are the schools that he put down there. I'm probably going to lean a little bit towards Hampton, considering that his mom was an alum there. So I'm gonna think that he was gonna go to Hampton. So speaking of Hampton and Tennessee State.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Yeah. So Hampton and Tennessee State, out of all the HBCUs, they're the only HBCU. They're two HBCUs that aren't in historically black college conferences. They're in the Big South, and Tennessee State is in the OVC. The OVC is still playing, so is the Big South. Hampton has decided that they're not playing this year. So the Big South is going to move forward, going along without them. I guess I don't know how they're going to figure that out, but they're going to figure that out. But the OVC, along with Tennessee State, they're still foraging ahead and still trying to play. So I guess we'll see what happens. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen there, but I don't know how strong they – because they usually get big checks from other schools. A lot of other schools are not playing outside of their conference, so I don't know how that's going to work this year, but we will see.
That is Jaheed Whitehead, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I got a nasty delay. I couldn't hear anything you said earlier, so I'm just going to get through this reset and shut up. It is Stomp the Yard. We hear every Sunday morning, 7:20. Jaheed, back to you.
Speaking of the SWAC, so last week I reported that they're canceling. It's last week or 2 weeks ago that I reported that they're canceling their fall season, but they actually have a plan, and they're going to roll out their plan soon for their spring season. They said they're going to play spring football. They're going to play, and they're looking to play somewhere around February, March. So with that being said, the Magic City Classic and the Bayou Classic, they're looking to play in spring as well, so that game might happen in the spring. Interesting, I had a Bayou Classic around Mardi Gras. That might be quite interesting. And
boy, that'd be dangerous.
Yes.
That would be flat out dangerous.
Yes.
I've never been to Mardi Gras, but I've been to the Bayou Classic.
I've never been to Mardi Gras.
Both of them together?
Yeah.
Woo.
I've never been to either.
Oh man.
So I absolutely think that that can happen. And not to mention, the Celebration Bowl isn't necessarily dead. The Celebration Bowl isn't necessarily dead. If the MEAC decides that they want to play spring ball, then they still want to move forward with the Celebration Bowl. They would actually want to take it down. There was some talks taking it down in Disney. They say they have the fans for the television. They have the contract for the television. They have the sponsors, and they're willing to do it as long as the MEAC is willing to move forward and trying to play spring ball as well. But they haven't put anything out to say that they were planning on playing in the spring. Not like the SWAC. But we'll see. I'm looking forward to it. I hope that they do it. I really do, because that'd be nice. They have open space, and this would be a good time for a lot of these games to be on TV. So if they can still do the Magic City Classic and the Bayou Classic, I think there should be some people that should knocking their doors down. BET, TV One.
Well, also by that time, Jaheed, we hope that the virus is at such a place where we can have fans and have attended and people can come out to the games safely. I think that's the thing that we look at when people talk about playing, you know, in the spring. They're hoping that by that time we have things contained, there is a vaccine. Let's give some time for a lot of things to happen positively with the virus and with people who are deciding to play in the spring. So I'm impressed with the SWAC's game plan to do that. I really am.
Right, and they plan on we will see in the coming weeks, I guess, or coming days. They have a plan that they tend to roll out of how they plan on doing it in the springtime, because other people said they're going to play, but no one necessarily said they had a plan on how they're going to play in the spring or what is it going to look like. So we'll see, and it'll be best if the MEAC decides to put a plan together as well, because they play so many games together. during the course of a season. So it'll be interesting, and they'll have a nice little window to themselves if they can play. And this is, like you said, pandemic, COVID-19 permitted, that they can still do this.
Yeah, that's what we're watching to see with that. Got another HBCU note while I'm here. We mentioned the young man, Rajah Karuth, and I may have been sending this to you, who was attending Winston-Salem State. A lot of people wonder who's next in the NASCAR pipeline. And this young man is going in the lower ranks of NASCAR, and he's going to be enrolling at Winston-Salem State University this fall, and he wants to major in the NASCAR management program. He got a big boost this week. Sunoco has decided to be the sponsor of his car in the division of NASCAR that he's in. So, I mean, all drivers covet sponsorship and full sponsorship and whatnot. So for this young driver who is on his way up, looking to make it in the NASCAR, a lot of people seen what's happening with Bubba Wallace and wonder who's next. It could be this young man. He's going to be attending an HBCU this fall, and Sunoco has signed on to be a full-time sponsor for him, which I think is fantastic.
That's pretty cool. That is fantastic. Do they have a big program as far as and at Winston-Salem as far as NASCAR or into automobile engineering and things of that nature?
Once again, Greg and I, we talk about jobs. They're in North Carolina. Winston-Salem State has a NASCAR management program, and North Carolina A&T, which is an engineering school, has a program for engine building for NASCAR. So but they're looking for a place to go to school, to get prepared, to go to work in NASCAR. Those two HBCUs are preparing people to go to work and make some money in the NASCAR business. So everybody driving the car, we're talking about jobs. We're talking about jobs, man. You got some jobs for us? You usually have jobs for us this time of day.
I ain't in this, man. There's a technical issue that we'll work out the next segment.
Oh, no. Come on, man.
All right, so
Greg, are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we'll work it out there.
We'll work it out.
We'll work it out. We'll work it out.
I am enjoying the conversation between you two.
Well, we appreciate it. We'll appreciate it. But we would like you to be a part of it. We would like you to be a part of it.
I can't do this walking like I'm standing on Mars.
Understand. Yeah. I do have one more nugget, though. Nugget that I wanted to put out there. I came back with, I believe that was Southern University, and they're banned from the National Battle of the Bands from last year. That's sponsored by Cracker Barrel. Go ahead.
Sponsored by Cracker Barrel, outstanding. You know what? We're gonna have to tune into you every week just to hear an HBCU band.
Because going. Yeah, we don't have any.
Can you believe that?
No bands.
We're getting ready to go into a fall with no HBCU band. Well, Tennessee State right now is technically the only HBCU band that's going to be functioning this fall if the Ohio Valley Conference goes through with their football season.
And
that's unreal.
That'll be crazy. That'll be crazy. And it'd be a bad time, too, because it even came out that the U.S. Air Force has become an official sponsor of the National Battle of the Bands. They're not only sponsoring the actual Battle of the Bands, but they're sponsoring the scholarships and STEM programs as well. So they're doing the whole thing. They're going to be really involved in the National Battle of the Bands every year. So hopefully they have it this year again, or this upcoming year. We'll see. I don't know. Doesn't look good, but you know,
Here's another question we throw out there. We know at the schools for the athletes, if they don't play this year, they're going to preserve their scholarships. What happened with the band?
I believe their scholarships are being preserved as well.
They're going to save the scholarships for the band,
I believe so. I believe. I will have to double-check with that, but I believe so. I believe they will.
Because a lot of our young people in our area do like to prepare to go and participate in the bands, and the HBCU bands recruit our area. Just like that, just recruit athletes.
Yeah, they do.
For young musicians.
They do.
In our area, big time. And so I'm sure a lot of parents are wondering about that, too. This is a curious times, Jahi. Curious times. But, great stuff. Always great to bring the information of what's happening with HBCUs.
Thank you, sir.
The latest developments. Outstanding job, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Thank you. I appreciate it. Much appreciated.
That is Stump the Yard. That is Jahi Whitehead, the pride of Howard University. Delivering that as he does each and every Sunday morning. Greg's got some gremlins or something going on. We're going to work on him and try to get him straightened out. We go get it back.
I'll
we
just continue. Keep it moving. I'll be back.
As we head for the next hour, you stay with us. Sam and Greg, yes, both of us will be back. We continue at the top of the hour here on Sports Radio 1990 Game and 1980Game.com. We are available through the radio.com app for all your smartphones and smart devices.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.